but one that would, where our lives would be transformed continually into His image. That we worship by practicing the kind of embodied gifts and sharing in our community that Paul outlines in verses 3 through 8. This happens because we realize that I'm not just one by myself, but I'm one of many. That it's us about us together, because in the community of Christ is where all the gifts are used and valued. And each member in their gifts on behalf, it uses the on behalf of the body as a whole. That is what worship is. It's a sacrifice that is alive and holy and acceptable to God. Yeah. Scriptural example of some of this is in 1 Timothy 4, that Paul is encouraging Timothy not to feel timid because of his youthfulness, but instead to show himself a model to other believers. Timothy's gifts that we know about were preaching and teaching, but evidently he was tempted to at least set it aside because he felt intimidated because of his youthfulness. And that kind of thing can happen to any of us. It's easy to find a reason to not use God's gifts for us. Maybe perhaps we're too busy, or we don't feel like we're fully trained, or we feel pressured to work in areas where we're not gifted. And in any case, whenever we neglect our spiritual gifts, three things happen. First, there's wasted energy as we work in areas for which we're not gifted. Secondly, that there's unused potential as we fail to develop in the areas of our gift. And third, there's a growing frustration as we wonder why God's work seems so difficult. And when we combine all those different things, it eventually leads to a crippled church, because we're not acting within how God has made us. We're not living out of that. And so the big idea for all of us this morning is that God is gracious in building His church. And so as we get into this passage one more time, we find that Paul has specifically listed 7 of the 20 or so gifts that were found in the New Testament. He has combined them into 2 categories, 2 pots, as we shared last week. The speaking gifts, which we covered last week, and the serving gifts that we'll look at quickly this morning. And so this week we declare that God is gracious to build the church through the serving gifts. It's not a question of if you are gifted, because God has gifted all believers. So we're going to focus on these 4 serving gifts that Paul lists here. Again, these encompass a lot of different things, but the first is serving itself. He lists giving, teaching, and leading. I mean, not teaching, but in mercy within these. Now remember, these aren't more or less important than any of the others. They work together. They're all part of the full, rich picture of the church that God has made and continues to paint. We don't approach them with an engineer's mindset where there's a beginning of one and an ending of the other, that it's more of an artist approach where there's broad strokes of grace throughout the church. And there's the sense in which we're all called in general ways to all of these, yet some are specifically gifted in unique ways in each of these. God has things in the church and the community that will not happen unless we do what we're called to do. There will be people that might not be reached if we choose to sit on the sidelines instead of getting onto the front lines and into the game. So our game plan is very simple. It's one thing to just talk about all these things. It's another thing to start putting it into use. And so the game plan is very simple. Speakers need to speak. Servers need to serve. All these gifts are important. None are more prioritized than the other. They're collectively needed. And so verses 6 through 8 says this. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of the other, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The first gift we encounter is kind of a broad one. It's the gift of serving. Simply said, the people with this gift of service have a willingness to do whatever is needed. Our church is filled with these people. I see it every day. A person filled with this gift of service says, I want to be helpful. What is needed? They're willing to be plugged in wherever, to do all the little things. They look around and they see all the different things that are going on and all these different parts that are part of our community and serving, and they just have a need to do something. They can't just sit. They aren't frustrated with the little things. They don't need attention. They just want to help. And someone with this gift of service is excited about being used no matter what it looks like. If we were to refer to baseball, this is the utility player. Every team needs utility players. They can be plugged in wherever because they're just willing to be and desire to be playing. It's in 1 Corinthians 12, this is the gift called helps. It's the gift used by the seven when we look at Acts chapter 6. As they take care of the physical needs in the early church, so that the apostles would then be freed for prayer and ministry of the word. It isn't just the ability to do a job that needs to be done, but it's the right attitude in doing it. People with this gift love to do whatever they can to enhance the ministry of the gospel. They see what needs to be done, they do it joyfully, to the glory of the Lord for the strengthening of his work. And I would venture to say that there are probably a whole lot more people that are gifted in this area than are using it. The thing is, there are a lot of things in the life of this church, in the life of any church, that need to be done. And if they don't take an insane skill level or lots of training, yet are crucial to the functioning of what's happens on Sunday and during the week. Children's area is loaded with them. Simple things even like just doing the children's check-in so that everybody's taking a turn. Safety team, setting up tables and chairs. It was wonderful yesterday watching upwards and all the different people doing their different things and coaching and Beth's running around with a mic leading cheer. We have those leading cheerleading. We have people serving in the concession stand. We have people greeting and watching over as things are going on. We have people standing with the whistle looking like they're a referee. We have things like being an usher, a greeter, there's office things, in our compassion center, there's food to be sorted, and clothing, and cutting firewood. There's tons of just things that need to be done. And the gift of service is a beautiful blessing to be used. The second gift we find is the gift of giving. There's a distinction that we need to quickly cover, though, because there's a difference between the specific gift of giving and the discipline of giving that Scripture lists and directs us to do. I'm not here just to try and pressure anybody this morning, but there is a spiritual directive to give that we all need to make a decision in our heart about. Many will often say, well, I'll give when I have more. The problem that history has shown and the reality is, though, that if we aren't doing with little, we won't do with more. That God has given us this principle of the tithe, the tenth. And it's this floor level in the discipline of giving back to God for what he blesses us with. It was instituted before the law was even around. The law in Deuteronomy, though, in Deuteronomy 14, tells us where the money should go. Scripture lists the priesthood, the stranger, the orphan, and the widow. And so in the New Testament, it goes deeper than that. And in our understanding of giving, that we give based on what Jesus has done for us. And the purpose of the tithe becomes to remind us and recognize us that everything that we own, even to the very breath, is a gift of God.
Amen.
So we tithe not just our finances, but our talents, our time, our skills. 2 Corinthians 9 tells us to decide what in our heart we need to do and what we're to give. And while we are freed in Christ, we also understand that we're freed to give more, not less. And so we're all called to give generally, to be a part of that tithing aspect of giving back to God, there is a specific gift of giving, though. God gives some individuals an unusual ability to give to God's work, and they receive an unusual level of pleasure in giving what they have. Now, let me be clear. They don't necessarily are all rich by our human American standards.
Yeah.
These people have an understanding of who and that they have to give. That they're part of that. It isn't the size of the gift, but it's about the heart of the giver, because they just love to give. We've all met that person that would probably give the old term the shirt off their own back. We've all met them. They have that internal need. They see the needs out there, and they just want to meet those needs. And Paul says here, let him who gives do it with generosity. This word generosity is the word hapalotes, which simply means without folds. It's a word picture. There's a word picture of this garment stretched out and unfolded, which when applied to giving, it means to give without any folded up motivations, without hiding anything. It's simplicity. It's giving in order to not get something in return or to make yourself look good. Instead, it's giving because our giving should be done generously, gladly, and freely. The person with this gift of giving doesn't have any ulterior motives. They just want to give God the praise. They just want to help meet the needs. Third gift we have here is leading. It's easy to define because a leader has people following them. One of the old things I always was taught is if you call yourself a leader and there's nobody following you, just understand you're out for a good walk. Leaders are typically the center point of the group. And I want you to understand, a leader doesn't necessarily have the title. Leaders are people who people follow. They're the person who presides over the group and ministers and manages. And if they don't instigate a plan, it's probably not going to happen. There are many with leadership gifts in our world. And as believers, it would be within the church, it'd be a serious injustice if you're a leader for you not to use it in every instance, to hold it to yourself and not use it for the kingdom. If you have people following you, are you doing it in a way that honors God? Jesus taught that the essence of leadership is that, from Mark 10, is whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. The leader in God's economy is a servant. He gives of himself tirelessly in service to others in helping move things forward. Do you have the ability to lead by humble example and faithful service? Then do it with diligence. Do it with eagerness. Do it with excitement. Don't just wing it. Put yourself into it wholeheartedly and use that gift that God has given to you. The last of our gifts this morning that we're going to cover is the gift of mercy. There are a lot of areas of ministry that are associated with this gift. Remember that we're all called to exhibit all of these in some way, in a general sense in our life, because of God's grace on our life. But there are those who have been gifted specifically this gift. They see the suffering. They see the distress of people. And they want to come alongside. They want to be there to lift up. The gift of mercy is the ability to put yourself in the place of those in need, to feel what they are feeling, and then to do whatever is necessary to help relieve their misery. They have a knack of knowing what to do to relieve suffering. I will admit this is probably not one of my gifts. I taught school. In fact, I had students ask me at one point when I was teaching in this Christian school, and they said, Mr. Teeter, do you even know what the definition of mercy is? As I was handing out a quiz. I gladly said no. But they have this knack of knowing how to come alongside people to relieve the suffering. And maybe you're like this and others are not. Many of us, we see people on the street and we know something's going on, and people with this gift go head first into it. People that don't, the majority of our population kind of, have you ever seen that? You try to look every which way but to that person. Person with this gift doesn't avoid, they go head on. The sick, the poor, the aged, the disabled, the broken. They feel the deep hurt inside themselves. And they're drawn to those people. Not to be used, in a sense of the word being used, but to be useful. To come alongside. They're joyful and satisfied. There's a joyful and satisfying fulfillment when they help people. They reach out. They extend mercy. We see it every day with Cliff and the people in the Compassion Center as they deal daily with people. So as we said, you know, before, we have an overall game plan. If you're called and gifted to speak, then speak, whether it be teaching, prophecy, or encouragement. If you're gifted with service in one of those general areas of service, leading, giving, or mercy, then serve. There's several in your test, and there's encouragement and opportunity to develop and understand what that looks like within the sheets that are attached to it. But we have a three-part game plan that goes a little further into that. So discover your gifts. Take the spiritual gifts test. And when you get around the body, you begin to discover what abilities and passions that you have, and the opportunities will show themselves for you to use those gifts. And as I've said over and over, when we start to use our gifts and those things, the opportunities come, they collide, they create this sweet spot that brings joy and excitement and adventure into our lives. The key, though, is to get out, to step up and try these things and develop your skills. So find the passions that you have and think about how they can be used, and then look for opportunities to use your gift. As you do that, you will develop your gift. Think about what God can do with that gift when given, when you have the capacity, and what would happen if you applied it. I've had questions, well, what if that was when I was young and I'm not as young anymore? And I understand that, but I also understand God knows you better than you know yourself.
No.
And that God, sometimes gifts change a little bit, but there's also other areas of ways to use the giftings that you have that we don't just find a reason not to use them because we want to or we think we can. And then we want to encourage others using their gifts. When you encounter people doing what they're called to do, root for them. Pray, give them notice. Hey, I see what you're doing. It is noticed. It's encouraged. Thank yous. Encourage people. Be people of grace. Receive them well and with humility. Remember that worship is about us recognizing what God is and has and is continuing to do, and then living in such a way that gives honor and thanks for that grace that God bestows. As a result, what will happen is the quality of our worship, which is not measured by what happens only on Sunday mornings, but by what happens when we're together and we see one another and we're out in the midst of everything Monday through Saturday, as our life spills out. Remember, the church is about being sent. It's not just about being gathered. We gather so we're empowered to be sent. You're all called. You're all gifted. Let's start playing into those gifts. When you see that happen, it's a sweet, sweet thing. And this church, when we start to do that, watch out, because exciting days are ahead.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your gift, for the life that you've called us to live into is so exciting. It's so new. It renews itself each and every day in your grace. That we're called to something more than just sucking wind. We're called to something more than just standing around and gathering for an hour or so on a weekend. But God, that this time together would be an empowering time as we move forward, that we are sent out to be people of your grace, people of your love, that we exhibit the forgiveness that we have been given and honor to give you glory. In your name we pray. Amen. I hope you all join us across the parking lot in the FLC for a time of potluck and fried chicken and all the other good things that you brought. Have a great week.